We're going to do something different today. I hope you will enjoy it. As Emily knows, I enjoy Sherlock Holmes with his logic and with his ability to look at things. What we're going to do is break up into four groups, and you guys are going to be like reporters. And you're going to take the gospel accounts, and I'll assign the scriptures to you. And in your group, what you need to do is stay within the scripture that I give you. And then what you need to do is probably have a scribe. And then the rest of you need to answer the following questions. Who is involved in your segment of the story? What is it that they did? Or what happened? That could be natural or supernatural. When did it happen? That is the order of events. So you're going to want to make sure after you get the who's in there, what the chronology is. And then, of course, there's going to be the where. And there's a couple of different locations. You also need to take note of conversations between whoever is involved. Any commands. Also, some of the accounts relay the emotions of the people that were involved. And if you can answer the question of why certain things happen, go ahead and do that. But we'll get into that more when we come back together. So basically, you're going to be investigators trying to answer the who, the what, the when, and the where. And I was hoping we could not have family groups together, but that's going to be difficult with you guys here. So, Luke... I mean, not Luke. Rachel, why don't you...
You were kind of trying to call me Luke?
I was looking at Luke, and I was thinking Rachel, but Luke came out.
Yeah.
I do that. Why don't you stay here with this group, and you guys will take Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Sarah and Emily and Michelle... Why don't you form another group, and you're gonna look at Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15. And you can spread out around the room. You guys might be difficult for you.
Matthew 28, what?
Verses 1 through 15.
Do you need a pencil?
The Bradys and Jeff.
What happened to
left out?
And Tom, the Bradys, and Jeff take Mark 16, verses 1 through 14. And Randy's group is everyone that's behind him. And spread out through the room so that you'll be able to hear. So, the first... To begin with, you all have different accounts of the same event, but it's from a little bit different point of view. And so there's some overlap, and then there's some things that are not told in all of the other Gospels that maybe one of them says something, and the others leave it out. That doesn't mean that the other account was wrong. It just means that they didn't include everything. If you see an accident and you have 10 witnesses, they're all going to say different things, even though they're all looking at the same event. So, to begin with, let's start with the cast of characters. Who's the first who? Let's start with that. We'll go around like this. So we have Luke, Mark, Matthew, and then John. So who's the who?
Who's the who?
The first ones are the women.
Okay.
Which is Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of Mary. Mary, the mother of James. And other women.
Okay. I don't have time to put all of that in, but
yeah,
notice that it's Mary Magdalene, Mary of Joanna, of Joseph's.
Or James.
Yeah.
And, and Joanna.
And Joanna.
I'm sure that's what they call her.
Mark? I mean, no. It's Luke and then Matthew. Matthew, do you have anything else? First of all, this first group.
Just
anybody else in the who's?
There's angels, and then later on there's the apostles.
Okay. Yeah,
and Peter mentioned specifically.
Angels?
Yeah. They don't say angels, it just says two men in shining garments.
Our sisters.
We're assuming they're angels.
We're just reporters.
Okay, you're just reporters. Yeah. All you're doing is telling me what the text says. Facts.
Men in shining armor.
Ma'am.
Two of them.
Sergeant Friday. Doing a little drag, Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have shining men. Anybody else?
And Peter and the apostles.
Peter?
Peter specifically.
And the apostles?
Mm-hmm. The 11.
Yes, the 11.
Because Matthias was not
okay.
Yet.
Matthew.
And Judas died.
We have Mary and the other Mary.
Okay.
So it's probably Mary, mother of James or whatever?
Just the facts.
Another Mary. Other Mary.
No
speculative
guessing.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I tried that too.
Facts of men too.
Anybody else?
An angel of the Lord. So we confirm that it's an angel.
Well, we just had one, though.
You only have one.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we still confirm that there's
a
maybe
they were
glowing
having, yeah.
So brightly they didn't yeah.
Look
like
two.
There was at least one.
Huh?
There was at least one.
There are the guards.
Guards?
Oh, they are mentioned.
And
guards.
Jesus.
Ooh, Jesus shows
you
up.
You had Jesus in yours?
Yes. We're special.
No.
Okay. And the chief priests and the elders.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Chief, priest, and elder.
That's Maccabees chapter 1.
I know.
I'm reading this one.
And we also had a mention of, in at least mentioned, but they weren't really in the story, but they were talked about the Jews. And well, the Jews were kind of in the story, and the disciples, but you already have them.
And the governor.
Oh, yeah, the
governor.
Jews were in the story because it said, and this was circled around.
Right, the story was
so
circulated
the
among the Jews.
I didn't realize that.
The Jews. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have any of that.
Okay. Next we have Mark.
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Okay. We have Mary already. Mary, mother of James. Salome.
Ooh.
She's
our other women.
We have a young man in white, which your mom was trying to insist was an angel. Jesus.
Confirmed it.
Yes. The wife only have one man as well.
We have the two, which we don't know if they're referring back to a previous list, but in verse 13 or 12, after these things appeared in another form, after these things he appeared in another form to two of them. So we don't know if that's referring back to.
We just have two. Two of who?
Two of who? We don't know. Men.
Oh, they're men?
Men or women?
No, just two of them.
Okay.
They're them.
So. Any other characters?
We had Christ.
Yeah, we had Jesus.
And the 11.
Oh, the 11. 11.
No. The 11. Okay.
Peter was mentioned, but he was doesn't seem like he was, the way it was phrased, he was part of that.
Okay.
Those who were there.
The John group.
Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, in a circumlocution, John is mentioned, the disciple that Jesus loved. Oh, just speaking around it rather than identifying it directly. Jesus, two angels.
Jesus, so now we have two angels.
And because of a reference, when Mary reports to Simon and says, we have, she says, we do not know where they have laid him. That indicates that she was with others when she visited the tomb.
Good.
It does definitely indicate. I think that's it.
Okay.
We also have the governor's ears. I forgot that one.
Oh.
The governor's ears?
The governor's ears. Were they still attached to
the governor's ears? It does. Hey, I'm just reporting the facts.
Are you supposed to mouth this?
Okay.
Amazing things are found in the Bible.
All right. Now, here's where it gets fun. And the way I want the, I have a bunch of questions here, and we're just going to go around, hopefully in order. We've got the they. So, when do the women go to the tomb?
Early in the morning on Sunday.
Okay. First day of the week.
Yes.
First day of the week.
While it's still dark.
First day.
It doesn't say that in our translation.
Which means we have no sun. Yes?
Ours is the sun had risen.
Huh?
Ours says the sun had risen.
The sun was risen.
Ooh.
That's right.
Ours says the sun
is
risen.
So there we go. First day of the week. Sunrise.
Ours does not mention the sun.
Yes, it says at the dawn.
Very early in the morning.
At the beginning of dawn.
So the sun was gone, and then the sun was there, and that was the rising of the sun. It makes sense.
Less, and then as they were walking, the sun was rising.
As it began to dawn.
So they didn't see it.
On the first day of the week.
Okay. That just showed you that it's third.
Okay.
That's why. All about.
So maybe one woman thought it was dark, but the other woman noticed it when they turned around.
Why are the women going to the tomb?
To prepare his body for spices.
Okay, we have... Yes?
To look at the grave.
To look at the grave, yeah, that's an interesting...
to look at it.
Okay.
Art said bringing the spices.
To come to anoint him, is what it says in verse
1. To anoint him?
Spices, brought spices.
That's
okay.
What it says, yeah, brought spices.
Why were they doing that? Why? No.
Because they thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And Joseph couldn't do it because it was sundown.
Yeah. Oh, on Sabbath.
Yeah, they couldn't do it on the Sabbath.
That goes back to what we talked about before. They had to deal with the body in haste. And so now they're having to go back to complete what Nicodemus and Joseph had started. And I think in one of the accounts before, it says that they were preparing those things. If they were doing it on the Sabbath, they were being naughty little girls. But they did prepare the spices. And so they're getting up very early.
So they don't get busted.
It's probably dark when they start, which is what is indicating here. And one of the accounts, I think it's a Mark, what's the conversation that takes place?
Between the women?
Mm-hmm.
We'll roll away the stone.
Who will roll away the stone? So, they have a problem that they know that they can't handle. Now, they may or may not know that these are guards. Sorry, they're not aliens.
Oh, I was going to say, those are the women.
They have their little spears.
They're good.
So we have...
Yeah. They look like them.
We have women.
The Atari version.
Oh, those are cute women.
Oh, they got the kilts on.
The Scots women.
They don't have kilts, they're women.
So we have women that are going to the tomb. They're wondering how they're going to roll away the stone.
Upside down.
And Matthew's account says that these guys are here.
Uh-oh.
So that's where the who is there. Now, while they are asking about the tomb stone, what happens?
I don't know.
Those of you that are, the Matthew account has it.
There was a severe earthquake.
Severe earthquake. So now we've got a lot of shaking going on. And severe earthquake. The women are in this earthquake. The guards are in this earthquake. And then what happens?
An angel appeared.
Ooh, angel. Where does he appear?
To the guards.
No.
In the tomb.
On top of the stone.
He's on top of the stone.
He does. That's right. It says right here.
He was sitting on top of the stone,
he sat
right?
Upon it. So
but he rolled it away first, though.
He descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it.
So he rolled the stone
away
first.
So now...
This is really different.
The tomb
is
open, and up on top,
give him a halo. Yeah, there you go.
We have an angel.
And his appearance?
And he's sitting.
Wait. You need to give him some light shining, because it says his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow.
Okay.
Green light.
Yeah. And now you need to show the guards shaking too.
Okay.
Yeah. Shaking.
As they conk over.
Shaking.
Yeah. That's hard to do, but.
And they they became like dead men, so X's over their eyes.
Oh my goodness.
I think Michelle's really into this one.
Okay. So now these guys are on the ground. It doesn't say they're asleep. It says they're like dead men, which doesn't necessarily mean they don't know what's going on. They just are not able to move.
They're paralyzed.
And that will be important a little bit later on. So they're here. The women start showing up. And according to John, who gets there first? No.
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Okay. Emily's going to appreciate
this.
She's
the one with arms in the front.
Okay. Mary.
The cocktail glasses are just
She gets
followers.
Here. She sees these guys. So she sees the open tomb. And then what does she do?
She's crying.
She runs
inside.
To Simon Peter.
You're not part of that group.
Oh.
Yes?
So she ran and came to Simon Peter.
Okay. So now we've got... I don't know how I'm going to do this. Mary is here. And she is going super fast here. And she takes...
Bless you.
Now...
Thank you.
The earthquake.
Something has happened first. Yeah, something has happened before this.
Wait a minute.
But
wait,
we're only going with John.
John.
It says so before, right here.
What?
It says... the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, to the women. Do
uh-huh,
not.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
What?
He said it to the?
Women.
Women.
Well, they were with Mary Magdalene.
But if that was true,
it says
what does she tell Simon and Peter?
We.
Do not know where they have laid him.
So she doesn't, look, she doesn't hear that announcement.
Right.
She just shows up and she leaves. And the other women are left. Yeah, your account is different. But she is not here because she doesn't hear that Jesus is alive, because that's the message that the angels give eventually.
Yeah.
So she's running back to Simon Peter, and now these women are showing up. Okay? Now, according to Matthew's account, we got the angel like lightning, and he's sitting on the tombstone rock, and we got the dead, sort of dead guards, and we have the angel, and the women show up, and according to Matthew, what does the angel say?
Do not be afraid.
Say it loudly, please.
Do not be afraid.
Go on.
Okay. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. Then you will see him. Now I have told you.
Okay, so we have this angel. He talks to the women, and he gives them a what?
Command.
No, not the first one.
Announcement.
No,
do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid, and then what?
For I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified.
You're in the Matthew passage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He does say that.
He tells them that Jesus is not dead. He's not there. He's risen. And then he says, come.
Oh, an invitation.
An invitation. Come see the place where the Lord lay. In order to do that, they have to do what? They have to go into the tomb.
Oh.
And when they go in, it doesn't say, John eventually tells us what they see, but they go into the tomb. And now they're inside because they've done what the angel has said. And he tells them, to go and tell his disciples, that means they become temporary apostles because they're being sent. And then they get to be the first ones to proclaim the gospel. They see to tell the disciples he's risen. And then he tells them that Jesus is not going to show up here. He's going to show up in
Galilee.
Okay, now.
Question. So, when it says the angel invited them to go into the tomb and like see that the thing was there, is that where our passage picks up? Because our says they went, they found the stone rolled away, they entered, didn't find Jesus,
right.
And then while they're in the tomb, inside the tomb, two men appear standing,
shining,
and then give them a completely different message than those people just had.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar. The marks,
well,
the people that have the Mark account, also, what does the Mark passage say?
I saw a young man in white sitting, one young man in white sitting at the right.
Sitting at the right. So he's probably over here as they walk in. So They have gone inside. They are now inside. And this angel is saying something. And then while they're in there, they enter the tomb. They do not find the body of Jesus. This is from the account of Luke now. And what does it say the reaction is?
You're wondering.
Perplexed.
Perplexed.
Puzzled.
They have an angel that's told them what's happened. They're inside. There's another angel now sitting there telling them what's happened. And they're inside now, and the word that's used is perplexed. I had to look that word up. Randy can give more on this maybe, but the word is apoero. Probably didn't say that right. And it means to have no way out. That is, to be at loss mentally, in doubt, be perplexed. So I looked up perplexed from Webster. And Webster says, to make intricate, to involve, to entangle, to make puzzle, to distract, to tease with suspense, anxiety, or ambiguity. And the reference that Webster gives is the one from 2 Corinthians 4:8, where Paul writes, we are perplexed, but not in despair. So they are now inside. All of this is going on, and then another thing happens. Two men show up. And the people that have that passage where the two men show up, what do the women do?
They're afraid.
They're terrified and they bow their heads.
They're terrified and they bow their heads, or some of the accounts said they're on the ground.
Yeah.
Boom.
So yeah, they bowed down their faces to the earth.
So did they realize these two people were holy?
Well, they've seen an angel. They've seen an angel. They're in there probably going, what's going on? They're afraid. They're perplexed. They're confused. And then two more angels show up and boom, they're on the ground. This is a traumatic experience that they're going through. And what do the two men say? Why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, you didn't. What happened with the first two messages? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And the Luke account then in verse 8 says what?
And they remembered his words.
Bing!
They're like, oh yes, the light goes on.
The light goes on. And so now the women go outside of the tomb and they're heading back. Now, this is where a problem begins to develop for me. There may have been two paths. Because the women leave, and Mary has now raced to where?
Mary to the disciples.
To who?
Peter.
Peter and John. Okay?
Oh.
Now, these women are now going like this. They're going this way. And according to the John account, the Matthew account, the Luke account, and the Mark account says that the women left quickly. They fled. They're taking off. But while this is happening, John, we think it's John, and Peter, and who else is going back to the tomb?
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. And so they get here, and I was listening to this group, both of them, that account and the John account. What has to happen when they get to the tomb?
They got to stoop down inside.
They got to stoop down to get there. So who gets to the tomb first?
Peter.
John does.
John.
Not
yeah.
Well.
John is there first.
Ours doesn't even
it's
talk
not right.
John.
We only have half the facts.
Okay. What does John not see?
Jesus.
No.
Oh, the angels?
Well, yeah.
He doesn't see
the angels.
Doesn't see the burial clothes.
Okay.
Doesn't see angels. So doesn't see the burial clothes.
John does what?
Waits.
Does he look in? Okay. And then Peter shows up, and Peter does what? Peter goes inside.
Pushes John out of the way.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop, there's Pete. He's now inside. And what does Peter do?
He saw the linen wrappings lying there.
No.
Yep.
Okay. And then what happens after that?
He went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
The John group needs to answer this
John.
Question.
John goes in.
John goes in.
Right.
Now John is now inside.
So John and Peter are there.
John and Peter, and somebody else is still here.
Mary.
Mary Magdalene.
Like I told you, Shane.
She's standing outside weeping.
She's standing outside weeping. Now think of this. This is why I bring up Emily, because I love to watch Emily run. She's a great athlete. Mary Magdalene is here. She goes back to wherever Peter and John are, gets them. They run back. John gets there first. Peter gets there. But now, who is there? Mary Magdalene is there. There hasn't been much time. She is fast.
But she went with the guys back to them.
But they're running back, and she obviously is running back with them. Who do they not meet on the way back?
They don't meet the other women.
And so that's why I think maybe there's another path here going on. Another way to get there. So they're here, and Peter and John go in, and then what do Peter and John do? After they see that this is here and this is here, why is that important?
What? Why are the linens being there important?
Why is the linens being there important?
Well, it indicates that the body was not taken away because the linens would have been taken away at the same time.
Would a grave stealer take the body away naked?
No.
That would look pretty funny.
Okay. And the other thing that John observes is that this is folded and these are here, which means what?
There was time to take them off and
make it. Yeah. Which also means that hopefully Jesus isn't wearing other clothes. Maybe. But he took his time while he was inside.
Yeah.
He's doing, and this is all happening while these guys are dead. The women are coming. The angel is on the tomb. Jesus is just being nice and tidy here, putting things together.
Jesus is a Presbyterian.
No, he fixes his bed after he
fixes
he gets up in the morning.
That's right. Okay, now. In the previous account from a couple of weeks ago, the Gospels, I think more than one, make the note that Mary Magdalene and I think the other Mary took note of where the body was laid, which tells me they were probably inside. And now Mary gets here. Peter and John see this, and they go away doing what?
John believes.
John believes.
Peter's still wondering.
But John makes an interesting statement.
But as yet they did not understand the scripture. Which said that he must rise from the dead.
So Peter's going. John is thinking, okay, he's risen from the dead. But they're not associating it with scripture at all. And they're not remembering what Jesus has said, perhaps.
Right.
John just as a CSI says, it's neat and tidy. He obviously didn't go boom out of the clothes. It's not stolen. He must be alive.
Well, it says here in John, it says that John went inside, he saw and believed.
He saw and believed, that's right. But he doesn't tell this to Peter, because Peter's walking away and he's not believing.
But then it says they did not understand from Scripture
right.
that Jesus had risen from the dead.
Okay. And so then what do they do?
They leave.
They leave. Which means that Mary is still behind.
Yes.
And Mary then...
outside the tomb.
She's outside the tomb. And then...
she's weeping.
She's weeping. And then what happens?
She sees angels. Two angels in white.
One
at the head, one at the foot. Jesus.
So we have...
angels come back.
Angels are here. Sorry, I'm not going to make them big. And they then do what?
They speak to her.
They speak to her. And what do they say?
Why are you weeping?
Uh-huh.
And then she says, because they've taken away my Lord, I do not know where they've laid him.
All right.
Because she's still thinking
he's been stolen. Yes.
I'd like to make a contrast as to when Jesus, at his crucifixion, we see the violence that was perpetrated against him and how it's his what was done to him. And we see the haste that was taken, but then we also see afterwards that violence that had been incurred upon him did not follow him after his death, but rather was raised in peace,
right. mm-hmm.
as received by the clothing that had been laid out.
That's good.
Good point.
Now, the scripture doesn't quite say this. It does say she does something. She stoops down and looks. Does she go in, or is she still outside?
It looks like she may still be outside, because she turns around.
Okay, so the angels are inside. They're talking to her from the inside, perhaps on the outside. And she's there trying to process all of this, and then what happens?
She turns around and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't know it's Jesus. Actually, he speaks.
No, he speaks.
He speaks.
So she's still looking in. So we'll put a very sad Mary here.
She could be inside.
And then...
She's thinking he was a gardener, so it sounds like she's outside.
But she's not looking at the person who's talking to her.
Right.
Okay? And what does this person say?
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?
Kind of sounds like what the angel said. Okay? And what does she say?
Sir, if you've... Well, she thinks he's the gardener. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.
Okay.
She's not believing then.
She's not believing, but she's also... She must be a big woman because she's thinking, I'm going to be able to handle this body by myself.
She could do it whole Yeller style with the,
yeah,
with two sticks and a tote.
So her world is falling apart. And then John makes the comment that she thinks it's who? The gardener. Why would the gardener do that? I mean, that's a really weird state. With the gardener is here. He took the body out and put it someplace else.
Maybe she's not trusting anybody. Maybe she thinks he's maybe the gardener in those days really took care of the grounds and the tombs.
Perhaps. Or it may be an indication that Nicodemus and Joseph had not intended for the body to remain there. There may have even been some discussion that they were going to move it. That it was actually Joseph's tomb. Yeah. And then what happens?
He says her name.
He says her name. Mary. And then what happens?
She turns.
I mean,
she says
turned
my teacher.
And cried
teacher.
Out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. But obviously she realized that it was he.
It was he, and what does she attempt to do?
Cling to him.
Yeah, and I don't have time to get into that right now. Maybe we can answer that question next week. But then Jesus says what?
He's not yet ascended.
Not yet ascended, and?
He commands her to go to the brethren.
To go to the brethren, and who does he describe?
And say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
So the other person that's kind of a part of this, he's off stage, as it were. But he's there. And how does he finish it out? Go.
So Mary Magdalene announces to the disciples, I've seen the Lord.
Okay, now, this is where something else really extraordinary happens, and the people that have the Matthew passage are going to have to answer these questions. This is all happening. The women are going back, and then what happens? The women are going back, and they're probably talking about what's going on, and they meet Jesus. Yeah, Jesus shows up.
To the women?
To the women. They're going back. And there's Jesus. And then what happens?
He talks to them.
He talks to them, and what do?
They clasped his feet and worshipped him.
They get to touch him. Mary didn't get to. They get to.
And well, it says, wait, I think Mary does, because Jesus says, stop clinging to me.
Right. She does.
She was touching him.
Yeah, she
right.
Did
so she was touching him, and Jesus says, whoop. Now with the women, they're falling down worshiping. They got a hold of his feet, and what does Jesus say?
Greetings, he said. Then he said, do not be afraid. Go to my brothers. Go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Okay. So they get a reiteration of the command that the angels had given them. And they're to go to where?
Galilee.
Now, we'll get this next week, but do the disciples do that?
Probably not.
No.
This is all happening in the morning. And next week we'll be looking at what happens probably in the afternoon. But this is all the first morning. That song, my Lord, what a morning. My Lord, what a morning. That's what this is talking about here. Look at everything that happened. The women know he's alive. Mary knows he's alive. John knows he's alive. Peter and the rest of the disciples, once they get back, the women and Mary Magdalene, and Mark, I think, even says that Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus. They get back to the disciples, and what did they tell the disciples?
He's alive.
Huh?
That he's alive.
He's alive. They give the message. He's alive. We've seen him. Mary saw him too. She was the first one. And the disciples are doing what?
No.
They're not buying it. Yes.
Another contrast in the creation account in Genesis, where the woman was first deceived and she gave to her husband of the apple to eat, she fed the lie. But now we see also in contrast how Christ had given her the truth and that she came to the men.
Right.
Give forth the truth, so we see a contrast from creation account to this new creation which is in Christ, the very beginning, which is the foundation of truth being sent forth now.
Yeah, great.
Huh. Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Just one more thing. This is outside of our little CSI. Can you imagine what is going on in the mind of the women? They're talking to these 10 disciples or 11 disciples. We've seen him. He's alive. Mary saw him. No, you didn't. Yes, we did. No, you didn't. They're going back and forth.
He would come to us first.
Yeah. And they're not believing. What do you... I can't imagine what was going through their mind. It's like, we know he's alive. We've seen him. Why don't you believe what we're saying? And they don't believe. We find out next week they don't believe until that evening after the two come from Emmaus. They come back and he's, yeah, Peter's seen him. So is John. And they're all going nutso. Yeah. But at this point in time, the joy that these women have, only John is sharing in it.
But they didn't believe the two men from Emmaus either, did they?
Well, we'll have to look at that next week, but I think the Luke account says that, yeah.
They believed,
they believed
than
at
they
that
believed
point because they had actually seen Jesus.
They're like, well, these two men saw, so maybe it's true.
Mark says that they didn't believe, right. So we have a little bit of a discrepancy.
Well, we don't know
there.
If that's the two men on Emmaus.
That's right. We don't know that that's the two men on Emmaus. That's an assumption.
Yeah.
Yes?
Next week, can you go into possibly the reason why God planned the revealing of the risen Christ in the manner that he did? I mean,
that's what we talked about.
The confusion. I mean, why didn't he just say, right? Well, I mean, why was there this? Why
if,
was there there?
If you were making up a story and you were a Jew, would the women have been included in your story?
No.
Women were not, they could not testify in a court of law. They could not produce evidence. Their testimony was not considered valid evidence. Today, our court system says that a person's testimony is evidence. And there hopefully will be other evidence that backs up what the person is saying. But if a person presents their own story, that in itself is evidence. The Jewish world, that wasn't true for women. Sad. And yet...
time between each revealing, too. I mean, after this time, after this day. I don't understand.
That's a good question, and I'll look into that.
It talks about him appearing to 500 people, so maybe these are just the ones they told us about. Maybe there had been appearances all
right.
along.
Right, and Robert Raymond in his systematic theology book makes the point that in 1 Corinthians 15, the little credo statement that Paul has in there, who does he not include?
The women.
The women. They're not included in that credo statement. And that was obviously what had been delivered to Paul, because he says, I received it from them. Now, that doesn't mean that the women were a part of the story when he would preach later on. But that little synopsis that we have in 1 Corinthians 15 doesn't include the women. And that was to a Greek audience. Corinthians was written to Corinth, which is in Greece. Do you have any questions or comments?
Well, just a comment. The... This the discrepancies that we see among these four Gospels are taken by critics as evidence that we have some lack of historicity occurring here. And it is troublesome to believers often when they read critics who raise these things,
right,
because we don't have a systematized version of all of this that puts everything together. You've done perhaps one of the best jobs I've ever seen.
Thank you.
And weaving all of these things together. It's interesting how easily someone who's been exposed to the Gospels or a Christian background can get disrailed. A friend of Rachel's wrote me, she's a UCLA student, about a month and a half ago or so. And she's reading a secular novel like the Da Vinci Code stuff. It's about a different part of the Knights Templar legends. And so the author, who's not a Christian, points to the gospel accounts, the different sayings of Jesus on the cross, but the different accounts that we find of the resurrection, saying that these things are hopelessly contradictory.
Right.
That kind of a concept. And therefore, obviously unreliable, non-historical. And so she had never looked at it from that standpoint. She should have, because she was exposed to this under my teaching, but often when people are juniors and they don't have any reason to absorb this stuff deeply, they just goes over their head. And so I spent a lot of time writing back to her and basically broke some of these things down and showed that discrepancies lend authenticity as opposed to the discrepancies presenting contradictions. I said, when it comes to historical information, what we have to understand is that no one has the whole picture. No one has the large picture. Secondly, to prove a contradiction in historical documents logically requires that you must be able to prove that they cannot be reconciled. Simply that it's difficult to reconcile is insufficient to prove a contradiction. And when people don't realize that, they assume that a discrepancy that they can't reconcile indicates a contradiction that can't be reconciled. Well, that's a logical fallacy. So I pointed that out to her, and that the actual standard of proving a discrepancy among these passages requires an incredible amount of historical information. In fact, there would have to be more historical information than we currently have to prove a discrepancy, a genuine discrepancy in the account. And that's what people don't recognize. Then I gave her a story of something that happened to Jules and me a few years ago. We were driving south on Coffee. We came to Olive. And we're in the right-hand lane. Immediately to us in the left-hand lane is a black Volkswagen Jetta. Immediately to the left in the left-hand turn lane was a Bakersfield black and white PD. So when the light changes, obviously we're stopped. The traffic, the left-hand turn lanes get to go. So he turns. He goes left. I happen to notice simultaneously across the street going west, because we were headed south, and so this policeman is going east, was a black and white policeman. Mirror images of each other. Not only that, but when I noticed that, I looked, and to his immediate right was a black Volkswagen Jetta. So there we were at about 20 minutes of 12 on a Thursday morning at this intersection. And what are the chances that at that particular moment you would have mirror images of traffic happening with these two vehicles? And I thought about that, and I said, you know, if we had had an accident happen right at this moment, and you had people on that side and people on this side and so forth, they would have said, no, the police car had just left and gone west. No, the police car had gone east. No, the Jetta had gone south. No, the Jetta had gone north. No, there were two Jettas. What do you mean there were two Jettas? It would have been an incredibly confusing situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get the point.
Okay, one last thing. There's one group that we haven't dealt with, and the people that have the Matthew passage need to be the reporters here. What is the final group?
The soldiers.
The soldiers. And what does it say that the soldiers do?
They
go to the chief.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Oh, well, so while the ladies were leaving, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened.
Okay, so these seemingly dead men have been there the whole time. They have seen the women come. They've seen Mary go. The women have had their conversations. They've been inside. They've left. And these guys are still there. And they go back to...
They go to the chief priest.
Chief priest.
And the elders consulted
and
together. Well, it says that they reported it to the chief priest, and then when they had assembled with the elders, they consulted together.
Right. So, some of... And it doesn't say all of them. Some of them. Some. So we'll say, okay, here's some. There's going to be more. They go to the chief priest, and they tell him, hey, we were there. This is what happened. This is what we saw. And the chief priests, they hold a council. They get the elders together, and then they start talking about, what are we going to do with this?
Now, are these Roman guards?
Yeah.
I think
why did they go to Jews to report them?
Because if they had gone to Caesar, they would have been executed.
Pilate would have killed them.
That's probably my son.
You're looking for proof.
Interesting thought, which makes their story.
We call time on you here.
No.
Sorry.
Well, I just think that Luke's witness was
deaf
and blind because he left that lot of stuff.
Okay.
You guys.
Randy, close us in prayer, please.
Okay. Lord, thank you for this lesson today, and thank you for, again, Bruce's excellent scholarship and work and what he's put into this. And we pray, Father, that you would just continue to bless us in these studies and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name.